Well, perhaps it's the oldest and most known and loved psalm in the entire Bible. You're probably familiar with Psalm 23. We'll sing that at the end of our service today. Begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul." Our God has always viewed us as his sheep. From the very beginning to the very end of the Bible, it speaks of the Creator God being the shepherd and those who love him and worship him and serve him as being his sheep. But we need to remember that when you call someone a sheep, you're not really paying them a particular compliment. It's not like the nice, fluffy, cuddly sheep you buy on the toy shelves at the store. Sheep are obstinate. Sheep are dirty. Sheep are easily confused. Sheep don't follow their shepherd like they're supposed to. And this helps us to understand something about our sinful condition and our need for our shepherd. We have a tendency to go astray rather than following what the one that Peter describes as the shepherd of our souls. Friends, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the shepherd of your soul? As you go out, are you conscious that Jesus is leading you, that he is guiding you throughout all of the events of your life? Remember that when we come together for worship, there is a special sense in which God is leading us. He's leading us specifically by his word, by the ordained ministry of the church. But remember that he's your shepherd just as much on your job. Some will travel very far away from here over the course of the summer or into the fall. Remember that Jesus is just as much your shepherd there. He is the shepherd of our souls. Today I want us to hear Jeremiah's classic rebuke of Israel's pastors. Usually you're on the hot seat. Today it's this side of the pulpit that's on the hot seat. I want you to hear and understand God's plan for his people. There's a prophecy here about one who would come to bring true justice and righteousness to God's people. As you look at this, chapter 23 and verse 1 of Jeremiah, notice that it begins with a curse. "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," declares the Lord. Now, one thing you should know by way of background in this passage is that in the original King James, this word shepherds was the word pastor. In fact, I did a little research here not too long ago. Some of you may know that in the first edition of the English Standard Version at Ephesians 4, I think it's in verse 11, he gave some as pastors and teachers. It had the word pastors there. Now, what's interesting about it is that's the only place in the English Standard Version Bible where the word pastor is actually used in the text. And then, if some of you have the more recent edition, that word even has been changed to the word shepherd. So I want you to understand there's a close association between the word shepherd and the word pastor. So a pastor is a shepherd. A shepherd is a pastor. And it's interesting, as I went back and read this in my old King James Bible, two times in this passage, the word shepherd that's in our Bibles is the word pastor in the King James. So in verse 1, it would have said in the King James Bible, "Woe to the pastors who destroy and scatter my sheep." And then in verse 2, "Concerning the pastors who care for my people." And so we need to think today as we approach this text that there is a sense in which we are talking about a pastor and the people. And the way we need to understand that is as the shepherd and the sheep. And remember that ultimately it's not the shepherds who are there, but rather it will be the chief shepherd ultimately who leads God's people. So we want to look at this passage today under 4 points. The first is the evil shepherds. Now, when you read this word shepherd, have you ever seen a shepherd trying to scatter his sheep? It doesn't take much to get sheep to scatter. But oh, does it take a lot of work. And a shepherd gives his life to gathering the sheep, to caring for the sheep. It's in the shepherd's interest to see those sheep to multiply and to flourish. And you begin to understand why the woe opens this passage. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who, and I almost feel as though we need to put air quotes around this word, you are caring for my sheep by destroying them and scattering them. Do you see that what's happening here is that the one true God is coming to confront the people to whom the gospel ordinances of the old covenant had been entrusted. These were the people. It was their job to minister the word of God to his people. And now he's coming and he's making a case. You are destroying the sheep. You are scattering the sheep. This is my flock, and you have driven them away and have not attended to them. And notice at the end of verse 2 that God describes these pastors, these shepherds, as doing evil deeds. Oh, friends, what a tragedy it is when the gospel ministry, the pastoral ministry in the church becomes corrupt, when the gospel is abandoned, when the word of God is winked at and ignored, when the church becomes a mere club of like-minded people. The evil shepherds who shepherd such gatherings are not shepherding people toward heaven. Think about these words and think about times in history, indeed in our own day, when evil shepherds are leading the flock of God, when they're destroyed by false doctrine, when they're destroyed by self-centered worship, when they're scattered through clergy abuse. Oh, friends, these passages can hit very close to home. What a comfort it is, as we see in this passage, that God himself, that the Lord, is asserting his ownership of the flock. Look at verse 2, where he speaks of my people. He says, you, the pastors, have scattered my flock. There's a reference to my pasture here. And so even though these wicked shepherds, and again, think in the context, these are the priests, these are the Levites, these are the scribes and Pharisees of the nation of Israel to whom the covenant has been entrusted to administer that faithfully in the nation. And this has not been done. And now God is coming to prosecute them. And he says, you have driven them away. You have not attended to my people. And then, in ironic twist, he says, behold, I will attend to you. I will be the pastor to you, evil shepherds. And now he's coming to bring these charges against them. Oh, friends, how easy it is to follow the shepherd when the sun is out and the birds are chirping. How easy it is during stable, peaceful times in your life to hear the voice of Christ and do his will. to believe his promises, to remember who you are. But it's when times get difficult. It's when the culture begins to press upon the church. We need to remember who we are. We need to remember our ultimate destination and how to get there. This leads us to the second point this morning. In contrast to the evil shepherds, now we see the life-giving shepherd. The life-giving shepherd. For now God comes to the fore. The Lord says, verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. Again, notice the subjects here. I will gather. I will bring them back. Notice the allusion here to the creation mandate in Genesis chapter 1. They shall be fruitful and multiply. It is as though Israel is facing a decreation, an imminent decreation. And the things that God has ordered in their nation will suddenly come apart at the seams. What he's saying is, and I will reestablish the order that I have made. The life-giving shepherd possesses his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I will give them eternal life. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The Father who is greater than all, no one will snatch them out of the Father's hand. Can you hear the voice of Christ? And can you see how, in a sense, as Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's standing up before passages such as this, where it says, the Lord will lead his own sheep. What is it that the people are confessing? Jesus, you are Lord. Lord, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner. Lord, where shall we go? Again and again, they're referring to Jesus as Lord against a backdrop of passages such as this. So, Jesus is the Lord who is indicting these wicked shepherds, these evil shepherds who are doing evil deeds. But as we'll see, Jesus plays another role in this passage. We'll see that in just a few moments. So there are evil shepherds. God is yet asserting his authority here in verse 3. And now as we move to verse 4, we see the positive plan that God has. Again, think of the church age when we read this verse. In verse 4, he says, I will set shepherds over them who will care for them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. The third point this morning is the caring shepherds. And friends, this is where we get to the heart and the core of the gospel ministry. I'd like to remind you that we have a little bit mislabeled the shepherding ministry of the church. I look even at our bulletin and I get the title pastor. Pastor McFarland got the title pastor here in this church. But I would remind you that if the word pastor means shepherd, then it ought to be both the teaching elders and the ruling elders who are regarded in the church as pastors. Now there is a full-time role. There is a teaching role that is unique. But God has entrusted the care of the church to shepherds. We are the sheep, and I include myself in this. One of the blessings of Presbyterianism is that even the shepherds have shepherds. And that there's an accountability even among the shepherds in a local congregation. And the shepherds and the sheep are all pointing one another to Christ himself, who is the leader of his church. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus says. I know them. That is, I love them. And they follow me. And look in verse 4 here at some of the blessings that come when God himself sets good shepherds over the people. They will care for the sheep. There will be no more fear. There will be no more dismay. And maybe most significantly, there will not be any missing. Friends, who is missing from the church today? Who is missing? Elders, let me pointedly ask you, who is missing? Who is that one missing sheep that we ought to leave the 99 to go and search out that one? None will be missing. The flock will be complete. All of those that are possessed by the shepherd will be there, declares the Lord. And do you see how this involves so much caring? Do you see why we need to care for these new members who have professed faith today? That those of you who are older can come alongside them and say, you know, this Christian life is a pretty long journey. And there's going to be twists and turns, and there's going to be times when it feels like the foundations of your life are shaking. That's okay. Stay close to Christ. Stay close to his church. Love the brotherhood. Honor the ordinances of the gospel. I'm reminded that a key part, and again, there was an Old Testament counterpart to this, but in the New Covenant, the shepherds are entrusted with two things. We call it the word and sacrament ministry. These are the gospel ordinances, the Bible and the preaching of the Bible, and the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. We have it written right up here, this do in remembrance of me. This is the way that over the course of our human lives that Jesus stays in focus in our souls and in our minds. And this is what the shepherds of Old Testament Israel were not doing. They were not caring. They were merely looking out for themselves. They were trying to get rich. They were trying to twisting the ordinances in order to get people to come to temple or come to synagogue. And God pronounces a curse upon them. Oh, friends, when I read these words, I tremble. Elders, when we read these words, we ought to tremble. We need to take seriously the call of God upon the shepherds. For friends, shepherds are not sheep. Shepherds are to know where the food is when the sheep don't. The shepherds ought to be armed to face the lion and the bear because the sheep are not. Do you see that there is a sense in which, I said just a few moments ago, even as a pastor, I am a sheep. But there's another sense in which the elders of the church are imbued by God himself with great authority. I'm reminded of a quote from Abraham Lincoln in the movie Lincoln that came out not too long ago, where he had, all the way through the movie, has been very humble and quiet, and there comes a point where he's talking with his cabinet, and he says, "The office of the presidency of the United States is imbued with great power, and I seek to exercise that power at this moment." And I was reminded of that this week as I thought about the real leadership calling that it is to lead God's people through this life into the life that is to come. Friends, God has designed for you to have pastors. God has designed for you to have good pastors who care. Let me say that I care, that we care. It's a big job to shepherd 130 15. Haven't added our new numbers. Maybe our clerk knows off the top of his head. But we've grown a little bit today as we've received new members, new communicant members into this congregation. And it's our job to care. Sometimes we do okay. Sometimes we don't. Remember that because Jesus has appointed shepherds in the church, you have a right to the time and to the attention and to the prayers of your elders. So if there are times when you need to be cared for in a more hands-on way, don't hesitate to pick up the phone and to call your shepherd and say, "Hello, shepherd, I need shepherding. Help me." And there's times when we go through doubts in our Christian faith. There's times when we go through relational struggles. There's times when God just seems far away and we need the shepherd. Remember that you always have access. The shepherds of the church never come between you and Jesus. There's never a barrier. You have direct access to Christ and through Christ to the Father. But what Jesus has done is he's ordained that his shepherds would multiply across the earth. And what a beautiful thing. How many shepherds do you think there are? In godly Bible-teaching churches, how many millions of shepherds there are around the world in the language of the people who are ministering the Word of God in order that His gospel might go forth. This leads us finally to the fourth point this morning. The chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. In verse 5 it says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Notice that in the context of the judgment upon the present shepherds, in the context of the promise of good shepherds, of caring shepherds, verse 4, now we see a prophecy about the future. "The days are coming, declares the Lord." Remember that Nebuchadnezzar and his army is coming. Remember that the judgment of God is about to strike upon the nation, and the result will be the elimination of the Davidic throne. And yet here is Jeremiah already saying, but someone's coming. Someone's coming. God is going to raise up for David a righteous branch. Now it's interesting, if you want to go back and look in Isaiah 4, verses 2 through 4, and in Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5. Let me say those again. Isaiah 4, verses 2 through 4, and Isaiah 11, 1 to 5. We have a much earlier prophecy where this coming one is spoken of as a branch. And now there's an adjective that's added here, a righteous branch. And here Jeremiah has in mind the perfect righteousness, the ethical righteousness of this branch. Notice, he shall reign as king, he shall deal wisely, he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Remember that when we think of justice, we think of the right functioning of the society. When we think of righteousness, we think of particularly standing before God. And so both of these, the Lord Jesus will administer in proper ways. In his day, Judah will be saved. Think about all the times in the Gospels when it speaks of people being saved. Israel will dwell securely. And then, as the climax of this passage, this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And friends, think of the times when Jesus spoke, "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." That righteousness is not something you attain to on the basis of your works, but rather it's on the basis of Christ's righteousness, that we have our standing before God. O friends, O sheep of God's flock, look to the chief shepherd. Know him, love him, serve him. He will bless you. He will carry you faithfully like a sheep in his arms throughout your life. He cares for you. He loves you. And he sent shepherds to care for you at a creaturely level. Remember that one of the things that happens when a nation begins to disintegrate is that the clergy become corrupt. The clergy cease to speak the word of God. They begin to use the sheep for their own advantage. Oh, friends, may we be those who together, as the flock of God, look to Christ, the chief shepherd. And may the elders, may the pastors, may the shepherds of God's flock dispense their calling diligently, and may you delight to follow the lead of your shepherds. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how we thank you that you are our shepherd. We thank you, Lord, that even in times of great disobedience, in times of great corruption, that, Lord, you see and you heed the evil deeds of those who ought to be shepherding your flock. I pray, Lord, that you would administer the government of your church well, Lord, both in this local church and in your church around the world. That, Lord, you would raise up shepherds, shepherds of righteousness, shepherds of justice, that, Lord, they might care for and gather your sheep. Lord, help all of us to never lay our hands upon the church and somehow turn it into my church or even our church. Because, Lord, truly this is your church. And we pray that you would lead us and guide us as we seek to play the role that you've ordained for us within your body. Lord, I pray for the shepherds in this congregation, that they would care, that they would have an eye to see and ears to hear the hard and the happy things that are going on in the body. Lord, I pray for this flock, this local flock, that they might look to their elders and hear the voice of Christ in the counsel and prayers and inquiries of their elders. I pray, Lord, that the elders would be diligent in discharging their duties. And I pray, Lord, that where there are sheep who need shepherding, that they would come to their elders and speak to their elders. And Lord, when the elders seek to draw near, that they would welcome them and that they would speak in openness and sincerity. That, Lord, we as the body of Christ might be built up, that we might function according to biblical order. And Lord, at the end, we would hear not woes, but we would hear those wondrous words of Christ, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." We pray that you would do this in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.